Welcome to Financially Savvy in 20 Minutes, a podcast hosted by me, Natalie Torres-Haddad, an international award-winning author, two-time TEDx speaker, and investor, along with Vera Egli, an investor, sales, and marketing pro, and multi-language podcaster. We will share the tips and tricks from interviews with self-made entrepreneurs, leaders, and those who have attained financial freedom while learning financial literacy in multiple languages.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to another episode of Financially Savvy in 20 Minutes. I'm here with the hostess with the mostest, Natalie. Hi, Natalie.
Hello, hello.
Super excited to be here today because we are chatting with somebody that Natalie and I both adore. And actually, she's the one that brought us together, our lovely friend, Yadira Lopez. So we're going to, we're going to learn all about her, what she does. She's a powerhouse in her business, a powerhouse in family, a powerhouse in friendship. So we're really stoked to have her here. Yadi, welcome to the show.
Thank you, ladies. And thank you for recognizing that I brought you guys together.
We always talk about it because we're so excited about it every time we think about it.
Absolutely. The master connector. And Yadi, you've been through so many things these past few years. And I kind of want to give the audience a little backstory, because it's amazing where you are today as opposed to, let's say, 3 years ago, right before the pandemic hit. And for those that don't know Yadira, you have to follow. If you haven't seen her many billboards on the freeways, I'm always like amazed when I see a new one. I'm like, oh my God, that's my friend. She's so amazing. She's, you know, powerhouse right there. But if you can kind of tell us where you've been as far as the last couple of years and where you are today. I think it's really impressive what you've been doing. And I have the pleasure of knowing you now over, I don't even want to say, but over 35
don't say
years.
It, so. Don't say it.
Go right into it.
You guys pretty much said it. My life has changed a lot since right before the pandemic. In February of 2020, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. So my life pretty much came to a halt that day. I had surgery a few days after. Then I started chemo, radiation, all that stuff. At the same time, you know, we were going through the pandemic. Kids weren't at school. My son started kindergarten that year. So I was home with him, with my other three kids as well. You know, they weren't able to work. So it was crazy. My life turned upside down, just like everybody else. But I had this extra factor that I was now sick. I'm a business owner. I was trying to run a business. I couldn't be at the business. So it was pretty crazy. But I'm happy to say that we overcame that. I've been in remission for almost 3 years now, and we survived all around. So I'm very happy, you know, to be here and to share that with you. But yeah, we've been through some crazy things in the last 3 years.
How has all of that changed your perspective in business? Because you weren't able to be there, not just because, well, first of all, let's clarify, you are in the business of insurance, specifically health insurance, and we'll talk about how you branched out in a bit. But so during pandemic, you were busy, right? Your business was busy.
Yes. And I was, I don't know, I think that was part of the way I was able to, you know, deal with my diagnosis. I was still busy at work, because again, everybody lost their jobs and people were laid off and all that good stuff. A lot of people lost their health benefits through work, and that kept us really busy. We're one of the top covered California producers in the state. And so we were really busy. I didn't have the luxury of sending my staff home or to work from home, because we had to be in the office answering phones. People were still trying to walk in, and we didn't know how to deal with that. Like, do we stop them at the door? Do we tell them to wear a mask? What do we do? It was all new to us. So we decided to have the staff come in, but not receive anybody in person, just answer phones. But that's how we were doing business. I was at home, like I said, at the end of February. But I've always acknowledged that I have an amazing staff, and they were able to take over. They didn't need me here. The business ran without me being here. And that's something I'm super grateful for.
You know, and I remember you and I talking about that, where you said how you hire people, right? How you staff. For those that are listening and are business owners, and you know, it's hard for them to let go of the reins. I know you have like a phrase, and I love the way you, you know, talk about how you see your employees as the boss as well, right?
Yes. So my employees are my family. I always say, you know, you walk in here and you don't know who the boss is, because we all know the same thing. We can all take charge. We'll all be able to help you the same way. And it's taken time, but we've built that. And I proved that when I couldn't be here for 6 months. And I probably made more money than I've ever made in those 6 months, obviously because of what was happening in the world, but also because I had this team of women that, and my team was all women at this time, that they just, you know, they're rocking it. No excuses. They showed up, they made it happen. Luckily, like, nobody got sick. They were here. They were taking care of business. I was sending them to get tested periodically. They were doing whatever it took to be here and let the business run. So for that, I'm eternally grateful.
That is such an amazing success story on so many levels, because I mean, besides the fact that you said that you made a ton of money when so many businesses did the opposite, but also you chose to remain in place to bring the value that you continue giving to your community, because they had nowhere to turn to, right? And since they know who you guys are, especially our Spanish speakers, the communities that we service, it's just, I just find it very admirable that there's so many people that said, I'm not going to shut my doors on a population that, even with the doors open, needs so much help. So that's really tremendous of you and your staff to stick around.
I think this was the moment that the community needed us more than ever. I've always talked about how we like to educate people, you know, when they come in here and they know they need health insurance, but they don't know how it works. So that was our time to shine. We, you know, some of these people have only had employer coverage. They don't know what it's like to purchase their own coverage, how it works. People automatically think it's gonna be expensive, not affordable. They were laid off. So we got a chance to show them otherwise, you know, that these services were here for them and we were here for them. So it was just a great time. We were able to really come through to everybody. We actually were recruited to go to San Jose in the middle of the pandemic. We were out there for 3 weeks. Enrolling thousands of people from a union that were laid off. They were employees of the convention center in San Jose, local hotels, airport. So they were all sent home, no benefits. So they sent us out there. My staff and I went out there for 3 weeks and we signed thousands of people up in San Jose.
That's so impressive. And I think it's inspiring to see that you find the need. And I think one thing, this is why we do this podcast too, because it's bilingual. And obviously if people are listening, they're like, Yadira Lopez, there is a Latin power right there. Right. And so the fact that you're bilingual as well, you do market to both, in our community, we're in California, right? So there's tons of Spanish speaking people. And I think that's something that's so impressive. How is it that you've distinguished yourself? Like, you market yourself in both languages, right?
Absolutely. So I primarily market in Spanish. My offices are located in primarily Hispanic communities. But obviously we all speak English and can cater to any language, but primarily we go after Latinos because we have that need to educate people and bring awareness to what we do. And there's so many benefits out there that people don't take advantage of or don't know that they exist. So we like to educate, and that's why we primarily go to the Spanish market right now. Yeah.
And speaking of going into markets, you have, well, what I want to clarify first is that a lot of people are very, they have a narrow idea or definition of what investing means. Most people think, oh, I invest in real estate, now I have investment property, or I invest in the stock market. But actually, investing in your own business is a huge part of investing in general. And you have decided to, or rather you already decided to invest in your own business by buying another agency. And in the insurance world, we'll say a book of business, like you, it's an existing clientele that you take over. Can you tell us what prompted you to do that? Was it scary? It's your first one. Are you going to do it again? What have you learned? What do you love? What do you hate?
Well, no regrets so far. But yes, it was very scary the first time doing this. And the reason I did it was because when it was presented to me, it seemed like a great opportunity, something new. I like to learn. And although it's still insurance, it's a different branch of insurance. And I know a little bit about it, but I knew I had to learn more in order to make this transition successful. And so I brought on a partner. We took this together. We tackled it together. It's been a bumpy road because, again, I am learning a whole new branch of insurance. But the numbers made sense. I was going to make this investment, and I knew that it wasn't going to take very long for me to make my money back and then some. And I thought, okay, I've always wanted to build, you know, to my empire. So, it was something different. And it made sense. Financially, it made sense. It made sense for me. I was investing in myself to learn something new. And like I said, I don't have any regrets. It wasn't maybe as smooth as I thought it was going to be, but it's okay. I'm learning for the next time because there may be a next step.
I love that. You know, you're building a multiple streams of income. And I think a lot of people don't always think of that way of their business, right? You said it's a different type of insurance, but it's another leg, right? And I think it's one of those things that you have to learn from. And the fact that you already did one, I'm not surprised you're going to do more, more ahead, because you learn quickly and you manage to apply that. And the fact that very few people are doing it and doing it well, especially in the bilingual world. So congrats to you on doing that too. And you happen to balance life in so many different ways. You carry many hats. And I think for people that listen to this, they're either parents, they're trying to take care of their elderly parents. Can you tell us a little bit about your personal? Because I think that's what makes you also so impressive, is that you balance everything what you can, right?
Right. I was a young mom, right? I was a mom at 16. So that leaves me with a 25-year-old daughter right now. And so I have a daughter, she's 25, and I have three sons. I have three sons, I have four kids. But my two older sons are also 22, 21, and then I have a 7-year-old. So just like I have a team at work, I have a team at home that make things happen. My daughter is the leader of that team at home. And she helps me take care of my son. She takes him to school. She picks him up. She helps with homework, whatever she needs to do to help us out at home so that I can, be at work when I need to be at work. But because I am the boss, I don't always have to be at work. So there's sometimes that I'm just like, I'll take a month off in the summer and be with my son. So I try to balance it out as much as I can. So again, it's just having those teams behind me at home and at work that I'm able to balance it out. And, when I did bring in this new project, it took a lot of time away from home. And so, it's been an adjustment to try to figure out how to incorporate my kids into that. Do I bring them to work with me? What do I do? Can I leave early? So, I'm learning every day something new, but always trying to make it happen so that, my kids don't miss me. My employees don't miss me, because they do miss me when I'm not here. So
I've heard them say it. And just before we wrap up, I want to ask you this, because I think that a lot of listeners might assume that you had it all before you started your first business, that, you had tons of money in the bank, so you were able to lease out the place and blah, blah, blah. But, we don't have time to dive into it here, but there are, look into Yadira, you can reach out to her even and ask her, but I just vaguely remember you saying you had to paint your own office, you had stuff all over the floor. And it was a struggle, right, to get up and running. But what kept, two questions, what kept you going? And what would you tell somebody that wants to start their own business now? Let's say they don't have thousands of dollars in savings to start it.
Well, I didn't have thousands of dollars. I had a 401k that Natalie will tell you never to do what I did. But I cashed out my 401k. I was taxed tons of money because obviously I was only 33 years old. But I cashed it out. I believed in myself. I believed in what I was trying to accomplish. And yeah, I mean, it took a lot of labor of love to, you know, put this place together by myself, and with whatever little money I had. And yeah, I mean, the money eventually came because I didn't give up, and we kept pushing. And I would tell somebody who wants to start their own business just to have a plan, you know, have a plan to have enough money to be without, you know, a revenue stream for a couple of months, because that does take time. But I think it's possible. And it just, you have to plan it. You have to make sure that you know what's coming, but everything is possible. But you have to believe in yourself. Even when people don't believe in you, you have to believe in yourself.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for being a part of this. And I know we're going to have you back, because you talk about due diligence. You talk about educating yourself. And you know, it's funny you said, yeah, I tell people not to do the 401k, but hey, I get it. A lot of people do. And depending what it is, and the fact that you also, we don't have time to talk about it, but you knew what it was to establish a business because you work for the city, and you are always been that type of woman that really does take on learning what you need to know in order to get it done. So I think one, it's just inspiring for people that are starting out and trying to figure it out and believing and banking on themselves. So thank you for being a part of this. And what's the best way that people can contact you?
You can email me at ylopez@lodellgroup.com. My social media is all Yadira M. Lopez, Instagram and Facebook.
Awesome. For one Thanks. Second, I thought you were going to say my social security number is.
No. End of that.
Well, thank you. And I'm sure we're going to have you back, because there's so many different topics. But thank you for being here, and so proud and happy that you are in remission and really just living your best life. So thank you so much.
Thank you, ladies.
Thank you. And please make sure to subscribe and leave your comments and reviews. To learn more about the podcast, check out the website and Instagram, Financially Savvy in 20 Minutes, and watch interviews on YouTube and IGTV. To become a sponsor or hire us for your next workshop or speaking engagement, please visit financiallysavvyin20minutes.com. All it takes is 20 minutes daily to become financially savvy. Music by Nikki and produced by Robert DeLude.